Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lanterne Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyssen, the second Tour de France rest day. This show is brought to you by our show partner, Lacol. Use code LRTDF20 for 20% off at Lacol's website. Benji, not much has changed. We've had a fair bit of action, but to be honest, GC is looking very similar to how we left it after the teen stage. Pogacar still 5.18 ahead of Urán and Wingegaard at 5.32, Carapaz 5.33, so 2-3-4 very tight. O'Connor hanging in there, 5th, 5.58, Kelderman 6th, then Lutsenko, Mas-Martin all in the 7 minutes, and then Bilbao 10.59, just going for that top 10 result. Did you expect more change in the guys 2 through 6th?
I've got the feeling that with the parcours we got this week that I didn't expect too much change to happen. I think that we also put that in our preview early on that we expected these middle stages in the Tour de France to have less effect on GC until we hit the stage 17, stage 18. That was one of the reasons when Van Aert was second on Tirreno, we thought, if he's in yellow at the start of the second week, he likely still is at the end of the second week because, well, quite simply, the stages in there are likely breakaway stages and such, and the peloton will likely not really go at ultimate force. And I think that's also a factor of it because you don't have that controlling team that is ultimately strong enough to keep up the pace the entire stage and still go for the stage. So you've got a stage like Fontu and the one we had yesterday where UAE is willing to just control, but not at a pace where they want to go for the stage. They say, okay, we don't need to. Yeah. 15 minutes, well, they didn't do 15 minutes, but 8 minutes, 9 minutes, just go ahead. You can have the stage. And that's good for UAE. They're fine with that. And that plays into the effects in GC. That's why you don't have harder stages for the peloton necessarily, which means that the changes in the peloton GC and the gaps are very minimal. And that's what we see in GC. We see that compared to the Tinia stage before the last rest day, we've got O'Connor back where he belongs, below the podium candidates. We've got Guillaume Martin, who went up in GC and down in GC again, as literally where he stood a week ago, and then Godu falling apart and perhaps Maz dropping a few places. But that's really it when it comes to the GC changes. I think the major difference, though, is that we now have Jonas Vingegaard, who to me feels like he is the optimal candidate for second place now. Compared to last week, I did really have my doubts when it comes to him. Is he going to keep it up for 3 weeks? Is he good enough to keep it up for the next week as well and stuff like that? And now I feel more and more trustworthy and comfortable with Jonas, and knowing that his team is getting stronger, I think that's definitely playing a role. What's your take on the potential podium fight at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really see much happen because we didn't have a mountaintop finish in this second week.
Yep.
So that's when there's no mountaintop finish, it just makes it much more likely there'll be a breakaway win. Even on team, there was a mountaintop finish and there was a breakaway win. But yeah, Wingegaard, I think he still isn't really going for second. I think he's still trying to attack Tadej Pogacar. And it'll be interesting to see, does that strategy change? I think Enric Mas and Movistar, quite astutely, they're just going for podium. I don't think Mas, they realistically don't think Mas can beat Pogacar, so they're just going for podium at this point. And whether that's actually an advantage to just go for podium, like Kelderman is not spending energy attacking, he just spends the energy closing down O'Connor in fifth. But yeah, the stage winners we had, Cavendish, stage 10, Van Aert, Pollitt, Cavendish again, Mollema, stage 14, and Kuss, stage 15. I think Van Aert, very memorable, winning on the Vuelta stage, as well as Cavendish equaling Merckx's record. Mollema and Pollitt, I mean, great teamwork from Trek, I guess. They've been there or thereabouts in a lot of breakaways, multiple riders. Kuss as well. I mean, Jumbo-Visma, after Roglic abandoning, Martin abandoning, Hesik abandoning, they got Vingegaard looking like he's a podium GC, big candidate, and two stage wins in the second week. They have to be very, very happy with that. But yeah, what I want to talk to you about, Benji, we both think, if I don't think Cavo TL, so I think he's got green locked up, right?
I think so as well. There's no real stage where I see that danger. I think his biggest problem, though, is that he's had some crashes in his team, and the team has been hit quite a few times this entire Tour de France with Tim de Klerk the other day. It looks like de Klerk is getting better and is still well in the race and is still strong enough to help Cav. If he can keep that up, then I don't see any issue when it comes to Cavendish. And even if de Klerk ends up dropping out because of a follow-up of the crash, then it wouldn't surprise me if they just reduce Alaphilippe's attacking and use him as help to get Cavendish to the line. Because at this point, Alaphilippe's breakaway attempts have not been very very successful.
Efficient.
yeah, as well. Like, the way he does it is just lining up to be unsuccessful. You start off a stage and you're attacking every single second. Every stage. And then you realize halfway the stage, you're like, okay, he's not going to make this. On Vaughan 2, the second I saw the first 30 kilometers where he kept on attacking, I was like, nah. Again, winning. So, yeah, stuff like that plays into that. And that means that Alaphilippe, while he's already helping out Cavendish for the sprints with the initial preparation for the lead out and so forth, he might also play a role in bringing Cav to Paris in the next week, which I think is worth it. Like, Cavendish is literally their golden egg right now. And if they can deliver him in green to Paris, then how crazy is that for a story?
Well, the stages he'd be most worried about are obviously 17 and 18. The benefit for him is he can stay in the group for a long time, 115 Ks before the Perasoud starts on stage 17. Yes, it's a hard stage for sure, but he's only going to have to do 50 Ks on his own, not on his own, have Quickstep around him, but dropped like we saw on the stage yesterday. He was in the group until like 50 Ks. That's a huge advantage. Then 129, 130 K stage on stage 18, two climbs. Yes, it's Tourmalet, Lutardeden, but they're not outrageous climbs. Still 80 Ks of flat beforehand. Maybe he gets dropped actually on the rollers, but I think he's fine OTL-wise. And then stage 19, what Benji mentioned about de Klerk being banged up, I really see stage 12 happening all over again. It's possible we see a strong group of rouleurs get in the break and Quickstep, like, we just don't have the firepower to bring this back. Plus, Cav's tired. He was tired after Vaughan 2, and he might want to take that off. And then you've got Champs-Élysées, where you don't
On stage 19, at the start, you've got that hill as well. Like, it really shouts trying to get as many people in the breakaway. Sturman. So,
you're right. Like, Benji's right. You got that early climb where, and then later climbs where it's just, I just think that could be a breakaway. And then 20, and then how it lines up for Champs-Élysées for him to break it anyway. And you don't need de Klerk so much. Maybe this year, Benji, we could even see a lone attacker win on Champs-Élysées. If Alpecin stop helping, Arkea don't have Bouani, de Klerk's banged up. We could, I don't know, if there was a year that a breakaway won on Champs-Élysées again, now, it'd be this.
If you're Cavendish and you've got a train, you've got Asgreen and so forth, how about you play everyone and you prep for a sprint and then you launch an attack with Asgreen in the final 3 kilometers on that small hill going out of the tunnel. And Asgreen
No one will bring him back.
Exactly.
It'd be Zabel for Greipel. Having to chase it, or Froome. Probably Froome having to do it. So I take
reverse Asgreen. Lead out.
I would take Asgreen on the flat over Froome. Oh, yeah, I would actually take him over Froome on the flat right now.
Yeah, certainly. What?
I'm messing.
Did you even ask that question?
I need to do some serious business first, Benji, before we progress to the main topic that I wanted to talk about, the polka dot jersey. Our show partner, Lacole, they produce performance cycling apparel. You've heard about them through the Giro d'Italia. They've got the McLaren Project Aero collaboration. Don't be like Guillaume Martin on the 100K an hour descents around wherever you live. Get the Lacole McLaren Project Aero kit to make you faster. There's 20% off using code LRTDF20 during the Tour de France. And if you're also part of our Velo Games League, you know about the prizes for first, second, and third there. But thanks to Lacole for supporting the show. You can go and check them out through the link in the description wherever you're listening. Polka dots, Benji, it's been heating up. It's actually been the most entertaining battle I've found throughout the second week. The current standings in the top five are Poles, 74 points, 8 points ahead of Woods on 66, 2 points ahead of Quintana on 64, tied with Van Aert also on 64, then Mollema way behind on 41. So top four poles, Woods, Quintana, Van Aert. The stages we have coming up, the maximum points you can take on stage 16, 21. It's like a medium mountain stage. Then 17 and 18, 60 and 62 with 40 available at the summit finish of each stage, double points. Then there's like two for the rest of the Tour de France points available. Do you think a GC contender is just going to snatch this away from these guys, Benji, or is 74 points enough almost for poles if he gets some more tomorrow?
Well, I'll turn it back a little and look at the people that are currently fighting for it right now first. We've got Woods, Wout van Aert, and Quintana, and Wout Poels. Now, those are the riders that are at the front of that, the fast four. We've got Bauke Mollema relatively close as well. And those are all at like 75 to 65 points and such. And Pogacar is on those 26 points. Now, Wout van Aert, I think this is where Jumbo's problem lies. I don't believe that you can viably go for both Wout van Aert's KOM and Jonas Vingegaard's podium in the couple of days that are coming. Because if the finish is the 40 points, then Van Aert would have to try and win those two stages. And if he will try and win those two stages, he can't help Jonas in those two stages. And those are the two most important stages right now next to the time trial, but the team can't help him there. So, well, it depends if they send another helmet just the day before the time trial, then they're basically not helping them. So a good helmet would help them already. But in all honesty, those two mountain stages, I think you can't go for both. Van Aert cannot go for KOM and go for the other. They can prove me wrong. I'm fine to see it, but it's going to be really hard to see that happen. So I don't count him as a candidate anymore, I'm afraid. Wout Poels looks to be the one that I... Oh, you do?
Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Okay. Stage 16, Van Aert has to... Let's preview in part stage 16, right? So 170Ks, medium mountain, got three main climbs, 11Ks, 5.5, 13Ks, 6.5%, 5.5Ks, 6.7%, and then sort of a rolly finish, little uphill, like 900 meters, 6% punch, Van Aert territory, right? Van Aert's got to go for the stage tomorrow. Whilst he's going for the stage, Benji, Poels and Woods will be in the break. I think it's going to be break. Get him to get some more points on top of those climbs. And then on stage 17, he goes in the break as a satellite rider for Vingegaard. And he also to maybe, so he doesn't get dropped or pressured on the Père Soud or Col de Val-Laurent Azet. Get him to go those points. And if he gets those points, and the same on Tourmalet on stage 18, and say Poels and Woods aren't there, he will have enough of a buffer in the KOM points that even if someone wins both summit finishes, they won't have enough points to beat him. And then obviously on the final climb, he's got to help Jonas. Is that the way they can do it?
It's mathematically possible. I don't see it realistic. I don't feel it's rational to send him in the break 3 days in a row and expect him to be worthy for Jonas Vingegaard as well. He's human after all. He might not look like it half of the time, but human. I think that's a slight bit above his capabilities, but then again, I'm Belgian, so I'm welcome to see it happen. But I think that the more likely candidates for me is Poels, Woods, and Quintana or Pogacar. But it really all depends on Pogacar. If Pogacar says, "Yep, I'm going for stage 17 and 18. Team's gonna fight for it. I want to win both those stages," and he wins both, then he wins KOM because plus 40 is 106 points. The others will have to get a lot of points along the way to try and beat that. I think 35 or something. It's possible, certainly. But it's not going to be super easy to win every single KOM thing if we see them blow up half the time of these attacks that they do. I think Wout Poels is the more likely candidate to take it home right now.
I don't think so. I think he's spent too much early. Mm-hmm. And I think he might take like 5 and 10 I don't see him being there for the final climbs. If I'm Woods, it really depends how the stages play out on 17 and 18. Because what you don't want to do is go in the break and then the break get caught before the final climb and then you're not even competitive on the final climb. And then yeah, GC is just going to take it. So the top three at the moment are really at the behest of what Pogačar and Ineos do. Do you think the break is going to – do you think the break is winning stage 17 or 18, Benji? It looks
– I think one of the two.
Yeah, one of them. It's pretty easy to control those stages.
Yeah, but though. Will Yoe control two stages in a row? That's the question. Like, are they willing to do that? And I'm not sure at this point because they didn't do it for an entire week, so I'm not used to it.
Yeah, true. It's really interesting to see how it will play out. I mean, what I think might happen is Poles will go on the break again tomorrow. It's a medium mountain stage that is not high mountain. There's not actually that many points available, and I think he might cook himself tomorrow. So that's what I see happening. And whether Woods goes in there too, he probably has to defend. But speaking of, let's preview that stage a bit properly. I think Alaphilippe, this is the stage that suited him the most. I think Van Aert can also win this stage perfectly as well. Sonny Colbrelli, Benji, he's looked a bit off. This is the one stage he could have won from the bunch with that uphill punch. Same with Matthews. Do you see break or do you see actually bike exchange and Bahrain controlling the Durbridge and Fred Wright? I mean, this is, if they were going to do it, this is the stage to do it. Or do they send those guys in the break?
Breakaway. I think Breakaway wins the stage head on. And I think that it's less likely to be a candidate like Alaphilippe and such because we've seen in Breakaway so far that there are a lot of riders in there. We're going to have a fast run in towards that called the pour in that stage 16 because we've got that descent towards it, which means that the Breakaway will likely ultimately form on the Col de Port or just before it. I think likely a small group before the Col de Port, like we've seen a few times now, and then other people that are better climbers try to jump towards it on the Col de Port itself. This will be a relatively large breakaway. Have no clue who would be able to remotely control that. I think the intermediate sprint afterwards means that Matthews will try and be in the breakaway, stuff like that. And I think that it's more likely that that group falls apart somewhere in between the climbs with an attack like Don Mohoric did to win a stage, stuff like that. He's arguably a candidate for the stage. And like a move in between the climbs could be doing something as well. And I think that might lead to the winner here. Of course, I'm not sure, but
I think EF got a big chance. Magnus Cort, of course, can win.
Yeah.
Igita can, of course, Valgren. Win. He's punchy for Halgren and Benji always mentions. Powerless they could use to help them on the climbs. Jonas Rutsch, they need to use him to help them establish the break. So,
is Valgren even at this race? Because I have not seen him this entire Tour de France.
maybe not. I mean, Simon Yates, I didn't realize he'd abandoned. What about your man, Benji? I'll put you back on the spot. Aaron Brew. Wasn't he supposed to be winning this with an Astana attack? This is supposed to be Astana's stage to win. Where is he?
No parlare inglese, easy. I don't think Aramburu is doing that well. Like, I can't let much more than that. I think Izagirre and such, riders like that could be in the breakaway for this one.
But he came sixth the other day, actually.
In a flat sprint.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I don't want to see him ride flat sprints.
True.
Like, their team has been strong in supporting Lutsenko, but it's not good when it comes to the breakaway so far. And who do they have left for opportunities like this? Omar Fryle will likely try again. That's honestly a rather good pick for the stage as well. I hope Aramburu, the cycling guru, he will try and go for it in Saint-Gaudens, hopefully. That's just completely by a stake, but I guess that's it. And I think that we will obviously see Trek try again. Yeah. Well, Ghent hasn't really been up to standards, it seems, as the Tour de France. But I think that Trek will need to go into it again. They've got the team for this kind of stuff. And while Nibali is not here anymore after the Olympics, they've still got Mollema, Toms, we've got Stuyven, stuff like that. So those riders will try Julien Bernard in the break again to set pace for those. Kenny Sonde, and there we go. We've got a potential Trek stage whenever they play it, right?
Come on, Magnus Cort. This has got to be the one. Jonas Rutsch, help him get in the break. Nielsen Paulus, control the climbs for him. Have a Gita there as a backup option too.
Ulan Domestiques for Cort in the break.
I want to see everyone helping Magnus Cort tomorrow. But yeah, I think, what's your anticipation like for the rest of this tour, Benji? Is it a bit muted? You don't really expect too much to happen? Are you excited about the GC battle? Who do you think is, I think Pogacar is winning. Who is going to be second and third?
I think that based on the last 2 weeks, Vingegaard is most likely to get second thanks to his time trial, because he's got that stage 20 time trial. That's going to be very important for that. It's 30.8 kilometers. He can take arguably 2 minutes on some of the competitors surrounding him. A Carapaz and so forth will lose a minute or more to Vingegaard. And I think Uran will be consistent in that as well, but he's just worse than Vingegaard in the time trial.
Yeah.
I think that Uran will be consistent on the climbs though, and that's where Vingegaard could actually lose something if he has a bad day.
I think he'll get exposed. On the longer climbs with the actual mountaintop finishes, mm-hmm. no descents to make it up and people going full to the top, I think Uran is going to get exposed more. But maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong. I think the podium is Vingegaard and Uran, but I think that if Vingegaard is going to jump over Uran.
If you're Ineos, do you stop at this point going against... I feel like Carapaz keeps stopping his attacks when...
Free Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, well, first of all, let Kwiatkowski on the break tomorrow, for fuck's sake. Like, come on, man. Like, if EF can let everyone in their team have a crack, like, you can let Kwiatkowski on the break. Kwiatkowski can win tomorrow for sure. But do you tell Carapaz, listen, if you attack and Pogacar's there but you've dropped everyone else, just keep going on the climb and just go for second? Because I'm struggling to see where Carapaz is going to make up 6.5-7 minutes on Pogacar by Champs-Élysées if you add in how much you'll lose in the TT. Do you think he should just go for podium at this point?
I think that the best thing Carapaz can do is on Col du Portet, go early and keep going and just keep hammering it, because like these are steep gradients. You've got the initial part is like 11 to 12%. There's a section of 13% in there as well. The latter parts are 9% towards the top. So this climb has only like 2 kilometers that go under 8% average, which means that this is going to be a really tough climb. I think that on this climb, a Carapaz can make a difference if he indeed makes those attacks count and keeps going. He shouldn't be stopping his attacks when Pogacar is on his wheel, because Pogacar should be the least person on his mind right now, because right now he's having trouble podiuming. And
yeah, exactly.
He needs to try and drop the people ahead of him right now, except for Pogacar. Like, just ignore him. Ignore the Slovenian. And pretend he's not there and just keep riding. When you attack, don't look back and, oh, he's yellow jersey in my wheel, let's stop again. Like, stuff like that, that's what makes your attacks useless. And you've mentioned it before, and hereby I mention it again. And I think the point at which you can touch a rider like Uran and so forth is if you make it harder for a long portion of the climb. Because we've seen last year that Uran had trouble in consecutive climbs and longer climbs and such, compared to the Slovenians, yeah. And
Lowe's,
compared
to right?
A few others. What, sorry?
Col de la Lowe's. Did he struggle on that last year?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And just in general, I think that the problem there might be that we don't know the capabilities of Vingegaard, and what if Carapaz does that and Vingegaard just strikes back and counters it and drops him?
I think Carapaz should worry about Uran and Kelderman more. I think he should wait on Col de Portet, attack late, just one attack like he did in the Vuelta, like mm-hmm. late attacks, try and just take 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Maybe you take 6 bonus seconds if Pogacar wins the stage and you take then 6 behind him, and just try and actually take just try and take back some time on Uran. But the question is, how much time does he need on Uran and Vingegaard before the TT? Because I don't expect too much from his TT.
A minute and a half, and that's not going to happen at this point, it seems.
Well,
it's unlikely.
A minute, probably. But yeah, you're right. Maybe you're probably right, Benji. He's 15 seconds behind Uran. You can't make up a minute and 20 on Uran in a last kilometer attack. So yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if he might not even have the legs to do that. So difficult questions for Carapaz. Given that the two ahead of him definitely have the stronger TT and might just be playing defensively. Uran certainly seems to be playing defensively, which is the correct strategy. What about who's the real threat from the podium outside of those three? There's O'Connor, Kelderman, Lutsenko, Maas. Maas is so far behind.
There's no other danger for me.
Yeah.
I don't see any candidate for top three outside of Vingegaard, Uran, and Carapaz unless all three of them crash. Like, it's unlikely for me that Lutsenko is going to get up there. It's unlikely for me that Ben O'Connor will climb as well as the other three on the next couple of mountain stages. Kelderman has been dropping yesterday on Baix Chalice. It's going to happen again on one of the two climbs tomorrow. The day after tomorrow and the day after. I don't trust him enough on those longer climbs, and I think that it fits the Colombian and the Ecuadorian better, and seems like it fits Vingegaard just as well.
I think you'd be all right, O'Connor, actually. I think you'd be might surprise on stages 17 and 18.
Hope it for you.
Lutsenko, the only way I see him podiuming is if Astana have a raid and get into the break with him tomorrow or something. That's the only way I see him getting on the podium, because he's just hanging on the climbs, and even if he makes back a minute 30
what
or TT.
Teams are going to chase him down? EF, likely. UAE? EF is the more likely team to chase back, because Uran's clearly not caring about Pogacar. He's going for podium, and he's going to be happy with second or third. That's something you know. Movistar? Yeah, Movistar always paces.
Well, they should. I mean, Lutsenko is ahead of Maas on GC by 10 seconds. Yeah, I think it could be tight. I'm not really sure how it will play out. I think Ineos will try pace one of those stages to launch another Carapaz move. If he has the legs, he can gain some time back. But seeing him gaining 90 seconds with the legs he's had on Uran and Vingegaard, just we haven't seen him looking like he can do that at the Tour so far. But anyway, what about Kuss, Benji? I think Kuss can be a big help for Jonas. He's coming into form. I think Jumbo-Visma might be able to put those riders under pressure as well. Podium battle should be pretty interesting. I don't have a firm view on how it will play out, but I agree with Benji. I think Vingegaard's definitely there. I have a feeling Carapaz might leap over Uran, but Uran's just so consistent. Any last thoughts?
About Vingegaard, what's the take now? Because we've seen yesterday's morning that they had put those three riders in the breakaway. After the stage, they say that it wasn't the plan, that they were supposed to have two riders with Vingegaard, as everybody was saying, you should have had two riders with Vingegaard just in case he crashed or has a puncture, which is an understandable take. They realized that and they adapted and overcame the issue that they had by applying satellite riders. Just, you need to go back as soon as possible at that point in the race. So they adapted to that. And then you hear rumors like something about Wiggo on a motorbike that heard from Dutch TV, who asked Jumbo whether they trusted Vingegaard, and they said they didn't trust the white jersey or something, stuff like that. So, there's so many takes going around that it's hard to know whether Jumbo trusts Jonas or not. And they should.
I'm telling you, going for the stage win with Kuss, that's totally a worthy trade-off. It makes perfect sense, stage win.
I agree.
Same with Van Aert. But if Kuss does his 6.4 watts per kilo for 12 minutes for Vingegaard at some point yesterday, I think that would have put a lot of pressure on Carapaz and Uran, and I think he'd be second now with a nice little buffer. But they didn't. Trade win is, they got the stage win, and they still have two big stages to play for Vingegaard anyway. And look, 5:30 on Pogacar with the TT to come. He either crashes out or he doesn't. Doesn't even matter if you're 10 minutes back. You just got to go for second, I think, at this point. Also I've heard stuff like, what about contract stuff? Well, he's contracted to them next year. It's not like he's out of contract either.
Indeed.
So I don't really get that as well. But yeah, Tour de France, we're missing Van der Poel and Roglic and Sagan and a few others. We've got Tokyo straight after. We'll have to fit in the preview for that straight after the race, Benji. Nibali's obviously going to prepare to make sure Ciccone doesn't win in Tokyo. But other than that, I'm being so mean about Nibali, but it's true, he will do that. They haven't been working too well together so far this year. But yeah, any last thoughts, Benji, on what to expect for – what's a hot take you got for the next week?
A hot take is that – well, I'll repeat my hot take from January, where I said in the Arche Desert Citroën team preview that Pade Pantcher would top 10 the Grand Tour, right? He's on 12th right now. he's only 13 minutes behind top 10. It's going to happen. Had to be a hot take, okay?
Jesus. I mean, APP, I want you to please ride for Ben O'Connor, who actually...
Ben O'Connor needs to ride for APP. Makes no sense, but do it.
Yeah, maybe. What a hot take. It is a French team after all. Okay, if you want to support the podcast... What you can do is review and give us a rating if you listen on podcast players, or like the video on YouTube if that's where you're watching, or leave us a comment on what you expect for week 3 and whether you've enjoyed the Tour de France so far. But until tomorrow's Stage 16 recap, ciao.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.